the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay Sachet. I'm 10 miles below sea level at Inner Earth Core Studios. We uncalcify your pineal gland by aligning your chakras with rejuvenative radio crystals. This heats your fiend bone to a delectable and daring 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a death-starved doom porn out of your system. Can you feel the vibes? Is it working? Is it working? Jim Babb and Randy England.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, MK. Good morning. At least it's morning where I am. I'm if you're out west, it's not morning yet, is it?
No, I'm still in Florida, so it's still morning for me, too.
Okay, yeah.
So it's feeling good. Feeling good. And also, Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except government agents. For more, visit BIPCOT.org. And so today on the Freedom Fiends, got some good stuff. Jim, you had a story we were talking about before the show about...
Yeah, this is a local story from Phenadelphia. And, you know, this has to do with the quote-unquote war on cops. And I thought this was really funny. So there's this guy alleging to be a cop named Joe Leaguehart. Okay, he posts something on the Starbucks Facebook page, and he got his feelings hurt because evidently he went to the Starbucks at 13th and Chestnut in full uniform, and he needed to use the bathroom. Okay, so he expected to just for the barista to just hand over the key to this, you know, this brave man in uniform. And she says, allegedly, okay. She's now what should she have said? Okay. The correct answer was,
come back with a warrant.
Am I being detained or am I free to go?
Yes.
But she said, I'm sorry, but the bathroom is for paid customers only. Okay. Oh, now this enraged
this young blonde liberal, as this article states.
Right. In the post, she says, oh, he's a blonde liberal. Okay. Ooh. All right.
Ooh. Is that redundant? Blonde liberals.
So she repeats, are you a paying customer? Okay, so anyway, he walks out and he's so, you know, he's so traumatized evidently by this event, right? Yeah, he's just, you know, wow, I guess he's never been denied access to free stuff before, okay? Like, these guys are used to just going anywhere they want. Now, keep in mind, okay, there are plenty of public bathrooms all over Center City, Philly, and that's not even counting the septa stairwells where all the hobos urinate, okay? So he could have, he had plenty of options at his disposal, but he decided that he was going to demand some free service at this Starbucks. Now, I don't even know if this is true, okay? Right? Like, is this guy even a cop? I don't know, right? Did this story actually happen? Was it fabricated? Who knows? But before it even gets out there, Starbucks is issuing their official apology. The corporate office is just like, oh my God, we're so sorry. Oh no. Quick to lick the boot, you know. So we're kind of torn, right? Like, when I first heard this story, I'm like, yeah, let's go down to that Starbucks and buy some coffee and, you know, tip that barista, that awesome gal who was just, you know, hey, she doesn't make the rules. She just enforces them.
I would have said that if I was her. I think that's the most appropriate thing to say to the cop.
Right.
I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, just following orders. Hey, you know. Yeah, but I'll be happy to investigate myself if you feel my conduct was inappropriate.
The comments that the people left in response to the
there's thousands
post,
of thousands of comments. What is the general vibe,
well,
Randy?
Well, they posted. There's four of them here in the article. No more Starbucks for me. Period. Boycott them. I'm outraged at this. What can we expect from the current atmosphere of disrespect toward all authority? And here's the best one. But remember this, as soon as they face danger, who do they call? Now, for me, I'll tell you, I call a crackhead.
That's, I was about to say that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, if your brother goes crazy, locks himself in the bathroom with a knife, I know the crackhead's not going to kill him. Okay, so...
Well, and the crackhead's going to be safer. Super motivated if you have crack for him to get your brother out of that bathroom. So
he would
there's some incentive there.
The crackhead would put his own life in danger for some more crack. So.
At least with crackheads, you have incentives.
Right, and he's just going to say, look, I'm just trying to get home safely to my crack.
Right. It's true.
That's the war, but that's the war on cops, and evidently it's a war against all authority.
That sounds awesome.
I think the Freedom Fiends is working. I think we're succeeding.
I love how in the post, the alleged cop, I'm going to call him an alleged cop because I don't know who's verified.
Right. I mean, let's be fair. We don't want to judge him unfairly until we've confirmed that he's a cop.
Yes, he's not a cop until proven to be a cop.
Right. Yeah, he should get the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. Right. So, like, I love how he says, I was even more astonished that the many customers and other employees said nothing and seemed indifferent. This is the world cops live in anymore.
At least they didn't applaud. You know, if he doesn't like it, though, he should call into the program right now. Call 1-800-CRYBABY.
If he doesn't like it, he should try to change Starbucks from the inside.
Yeah. Right. You know what? I don't think he's got any, you know what? Until he's put on the green apron and he's made a mocha latte, pumpkin spice, he's got no room to judge. Okay.
That's right.
That's true. And besides, I think that Starbucks baristas are maybe higher ranked in the danger of their job.
Oh. Yeah. That steam wand where they make cappuccinos with, that gets hot. You could burn yourself on that. Yeah, you could burn yourself.
If that happened, if you died, they'll be flying the flag at half mast.
Yeah,
because the green flag. Hero.
The thin green line.
What about the thin green line? Exactly.
Yeah. You also provided a post, Jim. Tell us about the blue strip. I think was the one.
Well, you know, I couldn't believe this is true, but evidently people are painting a blue stripe on the curb in front of their house. Okay? And I thought, what the heck is this? It's kind of like that like what you see people put on their license plate, the Fraternal Order of Police thing that's like, "Hey, I'm one of you guys. Don't shoot me on sight," or, you know, don't revenue generate on me. But now there's something that you can do for your house. And I think it's you know, what it says is, oh, this lets the officer know that when he's in your neighborhood, he's not alone. Then the community stands behind him, and blah 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 blah. That's what they're saying it means. But what it really means is, like, don't shoot the dog at this house.
Don't shoot the dog at this house.
Is this real, or is this something that's just like, because this article says they're cropping up all over the country? Well, I'm just thinking this is just something that some, like, cop wife came up with.
But there's a real picture of a blue line. It's kind of a, it's not a thin blue line. It's kind of a thick blue line, kind of like the ones you're seeing on the internet memes for supporting the police, kind of like it's eaten a few too many donuts, and it's not thin anymore. But I'm looking at a picture.
Sloppy line.
I'm looking at the blue line, the stripe, and that's supposed to be on your curb. To tell the officers ahead when you're out there, you'll come out and Well, you'd be out of your mind if you'd come out. But you might call the other police after it was over. I don't know what you would do, but you're supporting them. Hey, come on. The reason that you want the stripe on your curb is the same reason you want the sticker for the Fraternal Order or the police in your back window when you get pulled over. It's kind of obvious.
It could be even more important at your house. It's sort of saying, like, look, don't put a flashbang grenade in my baby's crib.
Aren't we expecting a lot of cops for them to notice these little blue lines on the sidewalk? I mean, that seems like it could be pretty easily overlooked. And I mean, yeah, they're not the most observant people sometimes.
They would watch for this. I could see the prosecutors now, getting applications for search warrants, and when they're laying out, step by step, what the probable cause is, why this guy needs to get his door kicked in. Part of it will be the absence of this blue line,
right
on the curb. And obviously, it has to be a drug dealer, or they would have that blue line on there.
Or somebody else that has no respect for authority.
Well, yeah, no respect for authority. That goes without saying.
The war on authority. It's not just a war on cops. It's a war against all authority.
legitimate authority though.
No lines, no masters.
No borders.
No borders.
Such sad cops.
I love when people post this stuff. I mean, they have those like awesome typos in them. Like, I kind of feel bad for them. These things go viral, and these people probably didn't even. They were just posting some random, random thing, and it's kind of like difficult to read and understand exactly what they're saying. And then all of a sudden, there's an article about it, and this is the first comment. So I scroll down and read the comments on this news article you sent, and this person's like, I see this as something the thugs will take advantage of. It will be used as bait once they learn about it. Sadly, there's no escape from this criminal society, less a bullet in their criminal minds.
How will the thugs
about cops?
What do they mean? How will the thugs?
Do you mean cops or?
Which criminal mind are we talking
criminal
about?
Minds?
Yeah. I think we should paint little black and yellow lines just so, like, if there's a cop blocker or an anarchist in the neighborhood, they know they're not alone. They know they've got backup in the community.
Now.
There you go.
But who do you mean? Do they mean like crackheads will put the blue line in front of their house?
And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends.
I don't know
Michael
what they mean.
Dean thinking, and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
I have another sort of semi-local story.
Freedom Fiends. Hey, we are back from the market. And, we were talking about the blue strips on the front of your house. That
the freedom strip. What do we call that? The freedom stripe.
The freedom stripe. It's the thick blue line. And... there was another, every year comes out the list of deadliest jobs in America. And, it seems so appropriate to talk about that right now because we're hearing this utter BS about how basically half the cops have been killed. I mean, they are a dying breed because everybody's killing them out there. Yeah, it's just a massacre. And it's funny. It's like the media is playing into it. Like the cop was killed up in where was that? that last, the guy that was pumping the gas, and somebody shot the guy, and but the media keeps, they just keep playing it, you know, 2 weeks old, and they're still doing it. And if you're not paying close enough attention, you're going to think, since it's been on the news 14 nights in a row, that 14 cops have been shot. And they haven't. And and this, apparently the statistics, I was looking tonight, I think on the Liberty Compass, which is kind of like a libertarian Drudge Report, there's always they keep a figure on there about how many people have been killed by the police so far this year. And so far the score was like 850 for the police, but 25 police officers have been killed. And that the numbers,
come on, team.
I mean, wait. The numbers in the last 5 years, apparently the four.
I'm not cheering for either side there.
Of course. Well, no, and I'm not either. But the point is that
no comment.
First of all, in the last like 4 or 5 years, far fewer police officers have been killed than in each 4 year segment.
Right. I think it's like the safest year for cops since like they ended alcohol prohibition.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's so, like.
So where's this all this coming from and everything? And, of course, every year, I think I started out talking about, you know, these statistics, and there's the deadliest jobs in America. And you go to the deadliest jobs in America, and the first thing it says, they want you to answer this question, which of these workers is most likely to die on the job? And it gives you a choice of a security guard, a firefighter, or a garbage collector. And if you picked anything but garbage collector, you lose, because the garbage collector has the more dangerous jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And as you look at the list, going down the list, you know, we're talking about police officers. And once again, they're at number 14. Once again, they never break into the top 10. So I just don't get all the whining and crying. You know, and you know, some cop on the Facebook, you know, with the words "enough," you know, on his hand, and he's holding it out like a traffic cop or something. give me a break! I had to wipe vomit off my screen.
I really need to stop playing the victim. It's kind of gross.
I mean, the most dangerous job on the whole thing are fishermen. I fished sometimes. Even now, I'm taking my life in my.
I have fished.
At loggers, I've chopped down a tree, and aircraft pilots, I've flown a plane, and it goes on down. I'm going. There's. Like,
I'm surprised you've survived this long, Randy.
How did
where,
I?
Where
ever
do Freedom
survive?
Fiends co-hosts fall on this list? Is this?
well, you have
I think
to.
It's relatively
down
safe.
Wait, this
I'm
is kind of weird.
Here for,
if aircraft pilots are number three, where do aircraft passengers fall? Because how are they dying, but other than crashing the plane?
No, the aircraft pilots—they're talking about dumb aircraft pilots. Like, we're talking about
they walk into the propellers on the tarmac.
Yeah, this is the guy that owns. This is the guy that owns the Cessna and just goes out on the weekend, and normally he's safe, but every once in a while he has a drink or two, and then it's like not safe.
He forgets which way is up, and
and that's the aircraft pilot.
Drinking.
I hope that's true. That's my take, but I'm thinking when I get on an airplane, which I have to do not very often, but when I do, I would rather it not be one of those statistics.
Worms.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be back after this brief trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org. Freedom Fiends
are back. Back from the market. And I think when we left Jim and MK, we were talking about the deadliest jobs in America. You know, I was looking on here. I didn't see my job. I didn't see any defense attorneys on here. So I'm not sure. Apparently, the safest jobs that they even bother to put on the list are business and financial operations jobs.
Oh.
So apparently, so,
until recently, I was in one of the safest jobs.
Yeah, you might have been. That
Freedom Fiends co-host didn't even make the list. Okay,
oh, true.
So,
well, how much danger, you know, do you suppose I am sitting here in a lazy boy, you know, in my house?
You could be droned at any moment. Okay, like I think that's a real and present danger. Like, you know, luckily there's three of us. Like, so if they drone one of us or two of us, the show will continue.
We have some redundancy. That is true, and no one would mourn us.
We're decentralized.
Well, I hope that's not true. near the highest in safety, and this kind of took me by surprise because I spent 13 years in the restaurant business myself, and food preparation and serving jobs are some of the most safe things.
I mean, well, you could catch communicable diseases, though. Would that even show up in the, no, as, like, occupational I hazard?
I didn't catch them. I would transmit them. But okay. No, it wasn't dangerous to me. But many a time I put a Band-Aid on a cut on my fingers, or if you flop the fish down in the oil the wrong way, it would splash up on you.
Yeah.
It was dangerous. That. It really was. Have you? Yeah.
I cut myself. I've dropped stuff. When I was serving, I mean, sometimes you'd be carrying big trays of, you know, drinks or something like that. And, you know, you'd have maybe too many on there. And that could be bad.
I used to work in a pizza shop.
Yeah, broken glasses. And
pizza shop oven is 600 degrees. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've worked at a pizza
and you're sticking your arms in there. You know?
Oh, that's hot. That is hot. Oh, boy. Yeah, I logged a little time there myself. Now, some of the things that are relatively dangerous. When I say relatively dangerous, I mean compared to a police officer, okay? More dangerous than a police officer. And I saw on that, the thing with the blue stripes in that, there were some very nasty, nasty comments who said that it was really hateful to refer to police officers as cops. So,
well, right. You should address them properly as welfare whores.
And
when I say that, I don't mean to be disrespectful.
No,
to actual whores.
Right, that's a respectable occupation.
Yeah, right. So I do not mean any disrespect.
Killing people is not
right.
Yeah. We didn't take it that way either.
Right. Okay.
But,
I just
taxi drivers and chauffeurs have more dangerous job.
I was a taxi driver. That's a really cool job.
Well, you're taking your life in your hands. So,
oh, I did. So, you know. Oh, yeah. You know.
But, you know, so is hitching a ride
that
out on the
highway.
That
could be crazy.
Well, look at all those jobs that are more dangerous than cops. Fishers, loggers,
roofers.
Garbage workers, farmers. I think this is the answer to the Starbucks dilemma about using their bathroom as a customer. I think every fisherman, garbage collector, construction worker, roofer,
farmer,
lineman, okay, all of you guys, go to Starbucks and demand the key to the restroom, okay?
Yeah, but there's one thing that the police have that they don't have, and it's a government job.
Hmm.
I'd like to see a code enforcement person.
But not just a government job, but also the power to just like kill anybody or beat people up or plant evidence with like total impunity. So, you know, yeah, they do have that. So I guess the baristas were supposed to be scared of this guy. like knowing that he could, you know what, he could plant evidence on that barista.
You know, actually, I think the barista was supposed to be scared of their boss, who had set the policy that no one's supposed to use the restroom unless they were a paying customer. Kind of an annoying policy if I just came in off the street to bum the restroom, which I would do from time to time.
Well, this is Center City Philly, though, okay? So, like, if you'd left it unlocked, there'd be people living in there, okay? Like, you kind of have to do something.
There would probably be even people that went in there to use the bathroom.
That's one of the things they might do. But, I mean, actually, I know this from just talking. I've used this when I lived in Center City. I got to know a lot of the baristas and stuff. Homeless people would come in off the street and just, like, start chugging half and half. Okay? Like,
in the bathroom?
I love half and half.
They're just right there at the little, like, you know, where you put your cream and sugar in your coffee. They just come right in, grab the half and half, and just chug right out of the carafe.
Well, it has a lot more calories than whole milk in it, so you can stay with you.
Hey, now, I was just looking a little rough that day, okay? Half and half is delicious.
I didn't know you how much time you'd spent as a bag lady.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway,
go ahead.
Well, aside from the bad things, okay, I mean, nobody likes, you know, being shot, you know, by the cops or, I mean, you know, how about that guy, you know, a few weeks ago that was charged with first-degree murder? They want the death penalty because the police went to the prosecutor and wanted a no-knock warrant because he was supposed to have some drugs in his apartment. And a no-knock warrant, a nighttime warrant, which means you go there at night, you do not announce, you just break in. And then when they got there, they thought it would be really smart, instead of breaking in the door, they break in the bedroom window.
And what could go wrong?
What could go wrong is that the first guy through the window would get his head blown off, which is exactly what happened. And guy number two and three going through the window both got shot and didn't get killed. Now, you know, this is, what do you call that thing where you, the Darwin Awards at work?
Yeah.
I mean, you think about that. When I was a prosecutor, I only agreed to write up and sign one no-knock nighttime warrant in the whole 14 years I did that. And that was because we had pretty strong evidence that a young teenage girl was being held inside the place. And I had a ton of them come to me. Every once in a while, they come to me and they'd want to do one of these in the middle of the night. And you know what the reason is why they want it?
Well, somebody might flush a joint.
They would flush a joint. They would flush a joint and we wouldn't get them. You know, and I mean, I said things like, yeah, and you could get shot. You know, you could break down the door without even saying police. Give me a break. I mean, I always refused to do it. And the fact that anyone would do it, to say to somebody they deserve to die, you know, I mean, that's kind of mean. But there reaches a point where you're too dumb to live.
It's not a war on cops. It's a war on cat burglars that happen to have a badge.
Well, yeah. And I just don't, I mean, it's just completely beyond me. I cannot even imagine how stupid a person would be to say, give me permission to go break through somebody's bedroom window in the middle of the night. I mean, how many people have a weapon, like, within armed reach when they're lying in bed at night? And, you know, somebody broke in, you know, out front, maybe at the front door or something, there might be a little bit of time for someone to gather their wits one way or the other. But coming through the bedroom window right at your feet, I mean, if it's my bedroom window, you're dead. You know, you're just dead. I mean, you wouldn't even give me time to think about it. You wouldn't give me time to do anything except just shoot.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, I'm down in the local jail on a first-degree murder charge. But that's the way it went.
Defending yourself against a robber.
Stunned by it. Yeah, there's a real thing about, you know, police being able to do things like that. I mean, and what difference would it make if the cops said, "Oh, we're police"? I mean,
coming through your window.
It's dark. You can't tell. So they need to do something about that. And the thing that really bothers me about, you know, all of the efforts now, I mean, you have the law enforcement websites that are just going crazy now, just crazy about support the police, and that's enough of this, and the war on the police. There's no war on the police. The police, in their tactics, in their clothes, I mean, you know, you see something going on, you're looking, half of them are wearing camo in downtown. I'm going, what are you wearing camo for? I mean, you look like a moron.
We're trying to blend in
all that foliage in downtown areas.
You look like an idiot. I said, anyone can see that you're playing at soldier. I said, the militarization of the police, it makes, I don't know, me so, very, very uncomfortable. And they're and then there was a point this last summer, the point that I felt like maybe the media might have turned on the issue and started giving them more bad press than they usually are very reluctant to give, was that fellow, I forget where it was, the fellow who, he was unarmed, he wasn't, you know, wanted on a felony, he just got pulled over for a stop, and he ran away from the cop. And there's that video and those stills of him running, and he's like 25 feet from the cop, and the cop with the arms outstretched murdering this guy. Multiple shots. Bang, bang, bang. The guy's running away. And that one, I don't know how everybody else took that, but that was really the most horrifying thing to see. And I think that was kind of a turning point in maybe people's attitudes, and maybe the media, they looked at that, and even they were throwing up at that. And but the police, the law enforcement support sites and that, they don't seem to even get that if they want to turn around attitudes about them, they're not going, they can't be indignant. They need to change.
Yeah. Now, so you guys are probably familiar with castle doctrine laws, and we call it stand your ground in Florida. And I know a while back I read about Indiana having a castle doctrine thing that extended to police officers. But I don't know if other states have picked that up. Have you heard anything about that? Do you know anything about that? And would that even apply, even if it did extend to cops, which, I mean, logically it should, but I mean, you know, things aren't reasonable or logical when it comes to the state, but would that even apply? And I don't see how it would in like a no-knock raid or something like that.
Better
it seems
to be
like
judged,
it should. I mean, anyone
better to be judged by 12 than to be executed by 3 coming through the window.
Uh-huh. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
All right, we're back.
I'm back.
We are back. Hey, there's a town that's just up the road from me. I'm in Jefferson City, and this is in Columbia, Missouri. And the thing in the news this last week was, due to the fact of cops being slaughtered, you know, wholesale all over the country, they were switching over from having one cop in a car to two cops. So that if you called the police, one officer, well, they didn't say exactly why, but it seemed one officer was there to take care of your problem or to bust your head, whatever he was coming for, and the other officer was there to protect the first officer.
To avenge his death.
avenge me.
And I think they're going to change the protocols so that whenever you pull up to the scene, you know, the address that you've been sent to and everything, the one jumps out and the other one goes, I got your back. And with that, I'm thinking they could get by cheaper with those strips on the curb, though. The two cops in the car, and they were really apologizing because it was going to take much longer for people to get to you if you called for a cop.
I think that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. It gives you more time to get away after you realize how stupid you were for calling the police. Now you can run away before they come in and shoot you.
And you're going to get two of them. The one will come up to the door, and the other one will get out with the pistol, you know, hang over the trunk, pointed up at the door.
So when they send three in through your bedroom window, does that mean they have three outside as well? Or
that means they would have to have three more cops there to protect the cops that were doing whatever they were doing.
But then who's going to protect those cops? I think we're going to need another round of, another perimeter of cops.
Yeah,
did
I
you
don't,
know,
they
you
didn't
know,
get
what
into
about
too
this,
many
though?
Cops, too many
it's cops all the way down. I heard that there some municipalities, and I think Philly's included, they're trying to get legislation through so when the cops hurt somebody, they're allowed to keep their name a secret, and it's now going to be completely secret. When a cop shoots somebody, you're never going to find out their name. Like,
that's
why would you want to know? Why would you want to know who they are, right?
Oh my God, that's so messed up. So you guys are familiar with the little mugshot newspapers that they publish and stuff of you know, yeah. Just those things are awful. Like, we would see them all the time when I used to serve tables and stuff. People would bring them in. It was kind of like, they would be like, I don't know, my coworkers would kind of be amused by, like, look at these idiots who got busted. And I was always super offended. It was like, these are people who may have made a mistake. They're not even guilty. They haven't been, you know, they're presumed guilty, and they're embarrassed. They have their picture published in this, you know, this public magazine, basically. No respect
either.
Of privacy. It's not the best picture. And yeah, who knows? Maybe they were set up by the cops. We don't know. No one gets the backstory, and their reputations get totally ruined over something that there's not even, you know, that they may not even follow through with, but they're not going to publish the names of people who kill other people.
Well, right.
You
well,
know,
why?
Cops,
well, who
cops
would,
who
would need to know?
People.
Right. You just assume that if the cop shot somebody, he had a good reason, and that's the end of the story, right?
The last people in the world that should have their names kept secret are government employees.
Yeah.
And they wear masks.
Arrested.
Right. Remember, a lot of times they go on these missions, they're wearing masks, and they put tape over their badge numbers and stuff, too. If that is not like straight up Gestapo style police state BS, okay, with zero accountability. They cover up their badge numbers, they wear a mask, and we're not even allowed to find out who they were after the fact, after they kill somebody.
That's a perfectly natural thing to do when you know you're doing things that you would be ashamed for your mother to know. When you're doing evil, sure, you cover your badge and put a mask on your face. I mean, I think that is a sign of their fundamental decency, that they at least can still be ashamed. So, I don't know. It's not the right thing to do, but it shows that there's...
Is it shame, though, or is it just like the same reason like a bank robber puts a mask so they're not identified later?
It could be cowardice. How about that?
Or just so they can't be identified later after their crime.
Well, that would be cowardice and shame. Any other choices?
They're just really ugly, and they're doing more community, doing a service for the community by hiding their fat faces.
How
well,
sweet.
We'll be back.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Two of the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So that means anybody can use this show. Unless you're the Queen of England or some, or Barack Obama or Nancy Pelosi, so, or other government stooge, or that poor cop in Philly with his feelings hurt, you cannot use this show. Sorry, I'm sure that he's going to want to share it with his friends, but he can't because it's covered by BIPCOT.
You're trying to get a boycott of the Freedom Fiends going here.
So. I'm in Philadelphia, and Randy, we've got Randy in Missouri, and right. MK currently in Florida, but you're moving to California, is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I will be moving to San Diego at the end of October. Oh, I'm super excited.
Wow. And tell us why you're moving out there.
So I'm moving out to San Diego to work for a company called Airbits, which is a Bitcoin app company. They currently have one of the coolest and easiest to use Bitcoin wallets out there. They also have a really awesome directory that's constantly having merchants added to it. So if you're ever wondering, hey, where do I spend this magical internet money? Just pull up your directory and you can look at the places around you that take Bitcoin. And it's worldwide too. So, you know, there's some really cool places in Greece that are taking Bitcoin, places in Thailand, you know, all around the world. It's really cool. It's a really cool company, and they're going to be adding some really neat stuff to the app coming up soon. There's going to be buy-sell functionality, so they'll be partnering with a third party so that you'll be able to buy and sell Bitcoin through the app. It's a really good group of people. I'm really, really happy for the opportunity, and I'll basically be doing what I love to do. I'll be doing the stuff that I've been doing for years, but getting paid for it. So I've been writing more. If you go to airbits.co, you can see a bunch of my blog posts. I'll be speaking at conferences, helping organize events, and engaging with the community. So my title is community manager. So I'll also be getting feedback from users and, you know, making sure that they're enjoying our service and just collecting feedback from them. And yeah, it's really cool, and I've really enjoyed it so far. I've been working with them remotely for a couple weeks now, and just a really great group of people.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes. And you said you're going to be driving out there, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Driving a big truck.
Yeah, I'm going to pack all my stuff in a moving truck. I'm getting rid of a lot of things. I've sold a lot of things. I've really downsized, and I'm going to be packing it all up and driving across the country. I love road trips, so I think it'll be pretty fun.
Sweet. And you said you're gonna stop in and see Ernie in Phoenix, right? Ernie Hancock?
Yeah, I'll be seeing Ernest Hancock and the Slopies, I think, will be there, too. They're going on their own little road trip also. And hopefully some other really cool people. I'm just thrilled about it, and I love road trips, and I love seeing, you know, it'll be like a bunch of people that we're used to seeing at Porkfest and other places. And I've known Ernie for a long time. Him and Donna are just awesome people.
I do have a concern, though. Getting from Pensacola to San Diego, there's a lot of Texas in the way, isn't there? Is that safe?
Big thing called Texas.
Is it safe to drive across it? I always see like Willie Nelson or Snoop Dogg getting their van searched on Highway 10.
Yeah, so Texas, it's such a long state to get through. Hopefully we'll be stopping in Austin briefly too to see some Bitcoiners there. Yeah, Texas, it's a long haul. And actually, the last time I drove through Texas, I got pulled over for going about 5 miles over the speed limit. And they pulled me over. And it was so funny because I had left my purse in a restaurant in Houston, I believe. And I was hours away from Houston at the time. And they were going to ship it to me because I was actually going to Phoenix. So they were going to ship it to me. So they pulled me over. I was going, and there was no one on the road, by the way. There's like this whole stretch. I mean, a lot of Texas, there's just nothing. Literally, there were no cars on the road. I didn't even know where these cops came from. They just came out of nowhere. And they pulled me over. I didn't even see them. You know, I was literally the only car on the road, and I wasn't going crazy. Like, I was going literally like 5 miles over the speed limit. And they pulled me over for speeding. And then I tell them, I was like, yeah, I don't have my license. I was driving with my boss at the time, and I didn't have my license. I didn't have my purse. And they wrote me a ticket, and then they let me get back in the car and keep driving, despite, like, not having a license on me or anything. They were just like, oh, okay, go ahead. So
how long ago was
Texas,
that?
This was at Ernie's Freedom Summit, or right before Ernie's Freedom Summit last year.
Okay.
So apparently in Texas, it's okay to, it's not okay to go 5 miles over the speed limit, but it is okay to not have a license and get back in the car and drive.
Well, they had to verify that you were white, okay? And I think they did that once they pulled you over, and they're like, well, okay. They probably, did they bring out any cash sniffing dogs to see if you had anything they could harvest?
Well, we had this really cool defense tool called a minivan, so we didn't look suspicious at all. Okay. I think it kind of deflected their you know, and like they even felt like I was talking to them, and I was even like, come on guys. And even there was that little bit of like humanity I saw in the cops that like even they knew it was crap. They were like, even they were kind of like shrugging their shoulders. They were kind of like, yeah, we got to do this. We know you're only going like 5 miles over the speed limit. There's no one else on the road. Like, you could tell that they were just kind of like,
right.
Yeah.
But they hadn't had a black person come through all day long, and they're like, finally they had to go for the minivan.
Right, so they went for the minivan. So
like, oh, they're like, man.
You know, almost reluctantly writing me a ticket, and I'm just kind of like, you guys, come on. They were like, we know.
Yeah.
They have a brag lot to your of kids.
Almost
heroes.
Like, we're sorry. Like, it was almost a kind of like, you know, sorry, but they didn't say it. You know, I just tell they felt like maybe just a little bit of shame, which good. They should feel a lot of shame.
Of course they should. And they should
like
go home, and
their mask.
Their children should laugh at them when they walk in the door or when they come home. They're like, the whole family should just laugh and point their finger and. They should be humiliated.
No, that's
everywhere
that's if
they go.
Violate the BIPCOT no good right. license.
I wonder if they were allowed to use a public restroom that day. Like,
maybe that's why they were kind of grumpy, you know, and pulled you over because they were.
I have a friend who works at. Yeah, I have a friend who works at a Wawa, which is like a kind of like a 7-Eleven around out here, and. The cops will just come in and help themselves to the coffee. Okay? They don't even say anything, okay? They just walk right in, they pour themselves coffee and they walk right out. They don't even ask, they just take it. And one time they got asked about it, and they're like, well, you know, we keep the place safe from shoplifters.
Oh. Wow.
So if we were coming in here shoplifting coffee, that somebody might come in here and shoplift coffee.
That's right.
It's the logic they're working on there.
Well, hey, you can't steal coffee if it's already been stolen. Stolen coffee can't be stolen twice.
Oh, yeah. You ever heard of a pawn shop?
I don't know. There's not a lot of secondhand coffee market.
Well, now tell me, what will this Airbits wallet that will hold my bitcoins? Is that right?
Yes.
And does it have some way of fixing it if I accidentally delete my wallet or lose my phone or something?
Yes. So what you can do is you can download it across multiple devices. So all you need is your login information, your password and your PIN number, and you just log in to your account on another device and your funds will still be there.
Okay.
So
and,
if you lose
they
the
don't
phone,
know, do they have records of which funds are mine, or is it just tied to my password or something?
Nope, it's all client-side encrypted. So you decrypt it with your password, and you set up password recovery questions, kind of similar to other services people may have used, whether in banking or paying bills, where if you forget your password, they usually answer a security question. So you can get it back. Now, it is a longer list of security questions, but that is one way to kind of recover your password. Or if you're just trying to get set up really quickly, you can skip setting up a password initially and just set up a PIN number. So, yeah, it's very, very user-friendly.
Okay.
And I've used a lot of Bitcoin apps.
But even if, say, the whatever authorities might have search warrants, were able to connect my IP address with an account at Airbits, they still would need my cooperation or they're not getting into it. Is that right? I mean, even if they could figure out who I was, they still wouldn't be able to get to it. Unless they had information from me, is that
right? They'd have to. Well, yeah, they'd have to know your PIN number to get into the app. And I mean, so Bitcoin's in this kind of weird legal territory right now. I mean, I guess technically they could force you to open the app. And
oh, I forgot my password. I've already forgot it.
But if you've already forgotten it, then yeah,
And they're going to have to beat you really hard to get it out.
They have to beat you really hard. There's no way they can access that information at all. And Airbits doesn't even have access to that.
So they couldn't torture MK to get the information to get into my account.
No, we don't have any access to that. It's all encrypted. We don't see any of it. And even if our servers go down, you can still use the app because everything's decentralized. But no, like we have no access to user information whatsoever. And if you do lose your password or forget your PIN number, then it is still unless you've set up those security questions, it's still
Worms.
Like other apps.
All right. I got to try it.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. What was that?
And with my grandbaby.
Nice. Congratulations, Randy, on your newest family member.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm happy. Can you tell?
Yes. Oh. That is so exciting.
That was such a cute sounding baby.
That was kind of a cute sounding baby. Actually, my grandbaby doesn't have, a cute giggle yet, I don't think. It's more like this. Oh, wrong button. Never mind. You were saying, MK. Something about AirBits, if I recall.
So I was just talking about AirBits, this really, really awesome Bitcoin startup that I'll be working for in San Diego. They have a really awesome app that has a Bitcoin directory in it. This is one of my favorite features of the app, is a directory. You can find out where to spend your Bitcoin, which is the question I think gets asked most often when people are talking about Bitcoin or haven't ever heard of it. They're like, well, what can I do with it? So the directory is there. And of course, there's a lot of other ways you can spend Bitcoin too. But I'm really excited. And I think that I'm really hoping this is the year that Bitcoin really kind of takes off. I think we're reaching a point where more and more people are seeing the benefits of it, and they're seeing the benefits of it contrasted to the ways that already exist that we transfer money with, like Western Union and PayPal and all of that. And actually, I've been writing blog posts about this. PayPal has been doing some kind of funky stuff. They've kind of been restricted by what they can do in Puerto Rico and Taiwan most recently. So basically what's happened, a lot of people use PayPal to send money back and forth, and it is super convenient and it's great to use unless, you know, your government passes a policy that says they're going to tax all, you know, outgoing transactions, you know, up to like 2%. And PayPal sends you an email saying, oh, sorry, no, you're no longer allowed to send person-to-person payments within your country. So this happened in Puerto Rico.
Why is it important to stop that?
Well, Puerto Rico passed an act saying that outgoing transactions would be taxed 2%, or transactions even, you know, between people. And PayPal, what they did as a response was they ended personal payments. So they'll be ending that. Okay. I think it starts November 1st.
But you could still, like, because PayPal asks you when you send money, they're like, is this for business or are you just sending it to friends or family? Is that what you're saying? It's no longer.
Yeah, you can't do
you
the
no longer get
payments.
The friends and family option.
Right, right. So this is bad news for people in Puerto Rico, and then they also did this in Taiwan because Taiwan is kind of cracking down. These governments are trying it, and a lot of this is about coming out against, you know, money laundering. And with Puerto Rico, they're having a really bad financial crisis right now, and this is the tax is kind of their way of trying to prohibit people from sending value out of the country, but you can't, you know, that's a really bad idea. And then in Taiwan, it's more of they're trying to prevent money laundering, and they have been talking about setting
like
up their
Bitcoin.
Own system.
That's why I like Bitcoin. It's for the money laundering.
Is good. Yeah, I anything that says none of your business.
I mean, do you really want to have unlaundered money? I mean, how untidy is that?
I know. I like my money on nice
clean,
and fresh.
Yes. It's been cleansed of any knowledge by the government.
But
this would
MK,
be good
no,
news.
Go ahead, Randy.
But good news for AirBits in Taiwan and Puerto Rico, right?
Well, I think in Taiwan, it's probably better news. There's a lot more Bitcoin activity there. There's a lot more access to technology there, too. In Puerto Rico, it's possibly good news. In some of these kind of developing territories and countries, it's a little bit harder to access these services. So that is a bit of a drawback with Bitcoin. I try to be realistic because whenever something like this comes out that blows up in the Bitcoin space and everyone's like, oh, this is Bitcoin's opportunity for this place, and that's really great, and I hope we can get there, but it's still very cost prohibitive for a lot of people around the world to get internet access and access to these other services that could allow them to use Bitcoin. Technology's getting better, it's getting more easily accessible.
Can't they do it from a McDonald's parking lot or something? And Greece. Does Greece, have they started using bitcoins because they
can get
money out of the bank?
Definitely. There are several places in the AirBits directory in Greece. And
Worms.
Yeah, people are using Bitcoin.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We're talking about Bitcoin, and MK, I want you to fill me in on I've kind of lost track over the sort of over the summer of there's been some interesting developments in Bitcoin, and some of it's a little it's a little technical and kind of over my head. But the real issue that I'm always trying to keep up with is, you know, there's the anarchist side of Bitcoin that sees the promise of Bitcoin and the economic freedom and the prosperity that that can bring to the world. And that's what got me so excited about it when I first heard about it. It's like, you can bypass capital controls. It's money laundering, you know, like you can buy stuff without permission. And, you know, it's just like, this is so awesome. But then as it's grown in popularity, I noticed at one of the Bitcoin conferences I went to in New York, all the speakers, or almost all the speakers, were like venture capital lawyers. And even a congressman stood up in the back of the room and said, I'm a congressman of the United States, and I'm with you guys. And then the whole crowd cheered. And it seems like they're tempted. I guess they can get more venture capital if it's regulated and these investors have confidence that it's not going to be illegal next year. So, how is that going? Like, how is it? How are the factions moving? Are the anarchists, like, is the promise of what brought in the anarchists, is that still alive?
I think so, and I think it depends on the state that you're in and the region that you're in. So, in New York, they're very gung-ho about regulation because where's the money at in New York? It's in the financial sector, and the financial sector is most threatened by blockchain technology. Now, it can also utilize it too, but you're going to see some heavy-handed regulation, and it's going to be, and it already is, on the exchanges, because the exchanges are where you convert Bitcoin back into dollars or other currencies. So those are centralized points of failure in the Bitcoin space. And the kind of goal of Bitcoin, the original goal, is it's supposed to be its own standalone protocol and currency. Like, yes, we are in the state where we have to, some people have to convert it back into dollars to spend it because not enough merchants are on board and taking it yet. But the goal is to only transact in Bitcoin eventually, for a lot of Bitcoiners anyway. Now, if you go out to maybe more Silicon Valley area, over in California, places where there's a stronger tech sector, then I think you're going to see regulation handled a little bit differently, because that's the dominant, that's where the money's at, and that's, you know, the dominant kind of industry in that state. So I don't think you're going to see California handle regulation the same way as we did in New York, which is extremely heavy-handed with the BitLicense that was passed. I mean, it's basically they're trying to crush any startups and any competition in that state, and it's really tragic. But as far as the anarchist voices, I mean, they're still loud and they're still strong in there, but, you know, there's going to be this constant struggle. And one of the things I said in my blog post about PayPal in Taiwan is the price of legitimacy is submission. And right. The reason PayPal's having so many struggles is because they decided to go that route where they would, you know, bow to regulations, and because they wanted to do business, which most business people are kind of forced into. And now they have to cut off services because the state has kind of clamped down on their people with regulations. And I think Bitcoin has to, you know, that's I think a big question that the Bitcoin community really needs to be considering. You know, how much do we want to submit? Now, I will say, you can't stop the network, so you couldn't make, I mean, in this people are like, well, what if they just outlaw Bitcoin? Well, you can pass a law outlawing Bitcoin, but you couldn't stop Bitcoin from being transacted. You couldn't stop the network from going because it's decentralized. So there's no central server that the government can go in and take that has all of the Bitcoin on it, you know, and, you know, it doesn't work that way. So that's very interesting. The way that it's coded and the way that it's built makes it, it just works. Like, it's going to work, and it can't really, you know, be stopped. You can stop the exchanges, though, because those are centralized points.
I've got a question. We were talking about, you know, your new company Airbits, and that you keep the information in your servers, and that it would be hard for them to regulate you much, I suppose, because you don't have any information that you can give them. It would seem maybe you have IP mm-hmm. addresses or something, but are there any Bitcoin, I don't know, what, a wallet or something that doesn't go back to some central server? Is there any software that you could use that is completely decentralized in case that worst case scenario hit and they shut everybody down, every center they could find, every exchange or company that did these things? What would happen? How would you deal with that? I mean, I might have my private public keys and everything in my computer at home and could identify which bitcoins were mine. But do I have to be some sort of computer programmer to get in and do something with Bitcoin?
No. The thing is that the network can't be shut down because it's distributed over millions of computers worldwide. So they would have to somehow, which it would be impossible, they would have to target all of the Bitcoin nodes, the nodes that are basically approving the transactions, and the miners who are approving the transactions, and they would have to, it would be basically impossible. Right. Because if you've downloaded the blockchain, it's there. I mean, you have it. Like, you're helping support the network. If you're running a node or you're in, you know, mining, and these miners, for example, the people who approve the transactions, they're spread out across the world too. And it would be such a massive operation. And the thing is, as long as there's, you know, even a tiny amount of, you know, miners still going, the network lives on. So there's just no conceivable way to stop transactions from occurring on the network.
Except to take down the internet itself, then.
Right, and, you know, that's not their style. If they want to like limit Bitcoin, they just send out a talking point that it's only terrorists and child pornographers use Bitcoin now. So mm-hmm. if you see somebody with Bitcoin, know they're a child pornographer.
Which they have tried to do to a degree. I don't mean they, as in, like, you know, but that is the narrative that's being pushed in some ways. It's like, oh, and I've actually argued with people on Twitter about this. There are people who do actually believe this, on the left in particular, who think it's just a currency that drug dealers and, you know, bad, so-called bad people use. And yeah. Which that's is a their style. Argument.
That's the that's, style that they use. They're like, well, we have this network where we send out talking points and we have a bunch of people on payroll to regurgitate them. That's a whole lot easier than taking down millions of computer nodes. That sounds like work to them, probably. So.
Well, yeah, it would just be
But what do you think about the people that are, you know, are you familiar with the allegory of the cave?
Yes.
And you know, so these, it's kind of the story where, and I'm not an expert on Greek literature, but there's people that live their whole lives in a cave, and then, you know, at some point they get outside. And, you know, an experience, you know, that, wow, that like those shadows on the wall and the firelight, that's not the world. There is a whole world out there, and they experience this freedom. And in the end, some of them, like, they need to go back into the cave because, like, they stepped out. And I'm thinking, like, you know, there's people that, like, they realize how crappy the Federal Reserve is, how much they wanted economic freedom. They get a tool like Bitcoin, which is like a revolution of you know, of a century, right? Like, this is like, this blockchain technology is, you know, it's going to go down with like the combustion engine, right? It's like this huge opportunity.
Yes.
And then these people are like, well, how can we go regulate this? Like, they're going back into the cave after getting a little taste of this of what the potential is. And it just, I see this in the marijuana legalization movement. Mm-hmm. You know, like in California, they fought for legalization of medical marijuana. They got it. Like, patients are being helped, everything. You know, it's like, wow, this is really working. And then recently they came out with like this new regulation, 17 new license types, fully regulated from seed to smoke is their goal. Okay. Like, and crushing regulations on physicians who want to who prescribe it. Okay. So basically the physicians are now like risk losing their practice for prescribing marijuana to too many people, regardless of whether it was the right case in every situation. They're just, it's a terrible situation, but those people came out of the cave and then they turn around and they ran back in. I just heard a story from a friend of mine who's an Uber driver. Okay. And he's on this forum for Uber drivers. And for those that don't know, Uber is this great sort of taxi cab alternative that uses a phone app. It's efficient. It's shattered the taxi cartels in so many cities. They are now lobbying the state capital in Pennsylvania to come in and regulate Uber. They want to have car inspections. They want to have...
Who's they? Who's they?
The Uber drivers.
Oh, okay. They've turned on themselves and they're...
They're headed back into the cave. Okay. Yeah. They said they want to have regulations on the number of hours, the wages that they make, the car inspections, like how many drivers can even work there. Okay, they want this regulated.
That's the number to limit people coming into the profession is the number one.
It's like goal. Wow.
Of every licensing scheme.
I know, yes. Of course it is. And that's always the goal, is to create. But it's just like we just smashed the cartel. Woohoo! Can we have a cartel, please?
Yeah, yeah. That's such a bummer.
So sad. You know, it's like, come on, guys. You know, like they don't even understand the value of what they have.
Now, yeah, like Uber can't be that bad to work for. I mean,
just an Uber cartel? Could you start up a new Uber?
Oh yeah.
Uber, well, there's Uber. Lyft. Lyft is cool. Lyft. I think there's other ones too, maybe.
Worms.
Yes, we'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends. And we're back.
We got some good news. We got to round out this hour with some good news. So,
oh hey, I heard a really exciting story, and this we'll just cover this real quickly. This is, you know, I love entrepreneurism, okay? And I get really excited when I hear somebody come up with a really cool idea. Somebody had an idea, and evidently he's making like $10,000 a month with a business he came up with, and I'm just killing myself for not thinking of this. He has a website. You go to his website, and you can, if say you want to send a message to somebody, he'll write your message on a potato and mail it to them. Okay.
Oh my God.
And he's mailing on a potato. He's mailing thousands of potatoes with like, hey, congratulations, you know, and something written on a potato, and he mails them. And evidently, he's like making a lot of money, and everybody's having a fun time with it because it blew up on Reddit, and right, so. Hey,
that's, you know, adorable.
That
really sound. You know, you could turn him out quick if you could put your potato in a ghost gunner, and it would just knock him out fast.
You know? There you go.
He's just writing it on. Like, it's just like has like a, I guess like a magic marker. He's just writing it on the side of like a russet potato, and it's just like goes in an envelope, and it's anonymous too. So you could send it to anybody. You know, you don't have to.
I was thinking of something more elaborate, but. Okay.
No, this is it's a simple business model, and it's working. So,
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
If you can't afford it, you could just do it. I mean, you know, if your mother's birthday is coming up or something, just
I would love that. If anyone is listening and wants to send me a potato with anything written on it, please do that. Oh my goodness, that would just make my life.
Yeah.
Getting a potato in the mail.
You're going to feel silly when you have to go over to the prosecutor and attorney's office and ask for an order of protection because you're being harassed with potato messages.
I'm thinking this could really, you know,
like a bunch of potatoes. Like,
I think it could really take off amongst Bernie Sanders supporters. You know, I think this could be a really. You know, just highlighting their economic knowledge. They could exchange economics tips via potatoes.
Okay, now you guys have heard about the here's the other one, the cloud bar in London, where they have the alcohol mist in the air so that when you come in, you hardly even have to drink before you can get drunk.
Sounds flammable. Sounds like a fire, like a fireball waiting to happen.
Oh, wow.
Guessing there's no smoking allowed in that bar.
Don't light a match. You know?
That's no fun.
There's a picture of people that are in the bar, and it's kind of misty and everything. It's really weird, though. There's this one woman. Everyone's wearing a clear poncho and around their head and everything, so that the only thing exposed are your arms and your face, so the alcohol can go in your eyes and you can breathe it. But this one woman has something under her poncho. It looks like maybe she's got a baby in there or something. That would be
cool. What is that? Oh my gosh, I see it now.
How do you protect your baby from this? You know, well, like
it's under the plastic.
There. Okay.
I guess. I don't know. And the thing that they're talking about is that you can really get a super fast, quick buzz because when you drink alcohol, it goes down in your stomach and goes into the, you know, the blood vessels in your gut and your intestines, and all of that blood has to leave there and go up to like the portal vein or something. I can't remember.
It's very complicated.
It goes to the liver, and the liver is the enemy because the liver immediately starts taking that alcohol out of there because it's poison. When you breathe, it goes into your lungs, and everybody knows the blood comes straight from the lungs straight back to the heart. Everybody
this could be a huge advance. Right, because if you drink two tequila shots, it takes dozens of seconds to take effect, okay? That is valuable time that's just wasted, okay?
What a buzzkill. So anyway, the call now is that this has got to be regulated. No one is dead yet, but I mean, how long can
it be? It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Listen, should we just call on the government right now?
Please, before
we run out of time.
Save our livers.
No, this is to save our livers.
Save your liver. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. All right, I take back everything I said. I dig it.
It sounds like a great opportunity for people that have like destroyed their liver through alcoholism to continue enjoying alcohol.
Well, you know, your stomach gets all sores and you get bad down there. This would be.
But your eyes and lungs might still be in perfectly good shape. So let's.
Okay. A whole new career of alcoholism.
Much better than plugging.